Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Voices of the Vic podcast with me, Mike Duffy. And today I am joined by Cameron Smart. We're here to talk to you about Watford's game against Plymouth on New Year's Day after a 1-1 draw against Stoke last time out. There's a podcast out. Me and Ben chatted straight after the final whistle on Friday night, so make sure you go and check that out. It's available on YouTube and on as a podcast wherever you get your podcasts from, so make sure you go and check that out as well if you haven't already. But like I say, enough about the Stoke game. We're here to talk about Plymouth Argyle. New Year's Day away at Plymouth. It's been a while since we played at Plymouth. I think, if my memory serves me correct, I was at the last game, and if I'm not mistaken, and it's actually in one of the slides further on in the show, that it was the FA Cup quarter final and we won 1-0 and Plymouth absolutely battered us. Ben Foster had a cracking game and we scored a free kick. It was either Hamer Boateng or Ashley Young. You'll have to excuse me because that was back in 2006. So, it's been a while since we've been down there anyway. But like I say, I'm joined by Cam today to talk about the game itself. Cam, how are you doing? I say, have you had a good Christmas? I saw you on Boxing Day, so I obviously know. But for the viewers watching at home, have you had a good Christmas?
Yeah, very, very nice Christmas. Just basking in a bit of time off uni. It's that time of year where you don't know what day it is whatsoever. Watford are playing on random days of the week. So, left incredibly frustrated by Watford last night. But other than that, very, very well. How about yourself?
Yeah, same as you. We're in that period now where it's like you don't care what day it is. It's still normal to have a beer at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon sort of thing. I don't have one with me now because I got a nip out after this, I think. But yeah, that crazy sort of time period. And I actually just found out today that I'm due back into work on Tuesday, but my boss has actually given us a day off. So we're back in on Wednesday. So if I've got a hangover on New Year's Day, then I get an extra day to recover from it. So happy days. As Cam said, we did play yesterday. So we are recording on Saturday, the 30th of December. And you'll be listening or watching this on Sunday, the 31st of December, New Year's Eve. Cam, just a little bit about Stoke. I don't want to go on too much about the game last night because, like I say, there is a separate podcast about that. But you were at the game, wasn't you?
Yeah.
Just a general sort of summary of how you thought the game went.
Well, look, I said to you that I think after Bristol City, the bare minimum we need is to bounce back with a performance, not necessarily a win, but a good performance. And I'd say we did just that. We should probably have been 2 or 3 nil up at half time. We first 10 minutes, we looked a bit on the ropes, but we blew them away after that. And came out the same second half, and it was until the red card that obviously Stoke dominated the game, which that's what you'd expect when you're down to 10 men. But we still looked threatening, and what was nice to see was we didn't completely cave after the red card. We didn't, you know, the team of last season, they would have folded, wouldn't they? They wouldn't have held on for 40 odd minutes with 10 men. So nice to see a together performance, a lot of hard work, and we could possibly should have nicked that game last night.
Yeah, absolutely. And as I said on the podcast last night, I think especially after coming off the back of such a heavy defeat on Boxing Day, it was a real test of character. Was the run we've just been on a bit of a purple patch, and are we going back to sort of the old ways, or was it literally a blip in the road? And hopefully yesterday proved that it was, because, you know, we were down to 10 men, and as you say, we were still creating chances. But the problem we've got is, and one team that will have experienced this is Plymouth. And the fact is, we create so many half chances, but we're not clinical enough in the final third. And Plymouth know all about that, because when they come to Vicarage Road in August, we absolutely battered them and did everything but put the ball in the back of the net. And it's frustrating. I mean, you know, let's talk about Plymouth now. We've got them on Monday. We played them back in August, and yeah, it's how are you feeling about the game itself, Cam? I mean, if you sort of look at their form a little bit, you like the last 10, Plymouth's last 10 here, you've got how many? You've got 3 draws, 4 defeats, and 3 wins. So no real consistency. Are you expecting a stern test? Because one thing I do want to point out is this here, and I apologise for those that are listening as a podcast. You won't get the visuals that you're getting if you get it on YouTube. I've just got a table up here of the top 10 home form in the Championship. And Plymouth, although they're sort of down there, I think they're 17th in the table, they're actually 6th best home record in the league. They've picked up 23 points from 12 games. So how are you expecting Plymouth to sort of set up, and what are you expecting of them, Cam?
Well, looking at those recent results, I think Ben Hamer's going to have to keep waiting for his 100th clean sheet, because they score a heck of a lot of goals. And it's the main man for them is obviously Morgan Whittaker. He's one of the top scorers in the league.
Yeah,
they're right winger. Yeah, really, really good striker of the ball. And I think we might have a bit of a left-back problem going into this, because James Morris was fantastic last night, but he ran himself into the ground. He went down a few times with cramp. Mm-hmm. And we know Val doesn't like to take risks with fitness. We know Ken has a muscle strain. He might not be available. So Morgan Whittaker could get a lot of joy for them. If we keep him quiet, I'm fairly confident, because he saved them a lot this season. But yeah, it's a game where if we really want to show our playoff credentials, we should probably be going to Plymouth and at the very least putting in a very convincing performance. Not necessarily winning again, because you can draw at this stage and still be in touch, but I would very much like us to go there and, you know, create chances like we have been doing. Largely look quite solid and hopefully get 3 points.
Yeah, and I think you mentioned there, obviously, in terms of trying to get a win, that would be an ideal, because if we do want to get playoffs and if we are serious about it, then that gap is sort of ever so slightly opening back up again, which isn't great. I mean, last night wouldn't have helped, but it's important that we go and put up a good enough performance. Because one thing which I must say, I mean, in recent years, especially, you know, I look back at that game where where we got promoted under Cisco Munoz, and the away form that season was horrific. But if you actually look in the league now at the moment at the away table, I'm just trying to get it up. Apologies, ladies and gents. That's having a bit of trouble here. But if you look at the away sort of form table at the moment, we're actually quite high up, and it's odd to think that from a Watford perspective. We're 11th in the away form table, picking up 15 points. So, you know, that's quite good. And I think we have got that to go off going to a Plymouth side who, like we've just seen, you know, a bit inconsistent with their run of results. Like Cam said, score a lot of goals. We've got a habit of going a goal behind, albeit last night was the first time in a while that we haven't gone a goal behind. So I think it's very important how Val's actually going to set up against Plymouth, because one man will be without is this man in the picture, Vacuum Bio. I mean, Cam, you were there. What were your thoughts on the red card? Again, I don't want to touch too much on it because me and Ben spoke about it yesterday. But for me, it was a red card. Did the ref see what actually happened? I don't think so. He maybe went off the reaction of Luke McNally. But for me, it's a red card. Vacuum's had a bit of an idiotic moment there. But we'll be without Vacuum Bio. So that would obviously point to Rajovic being the man that leads the line on Saturday. What would you go in terms of your team selection on Monday, because we obviously are in partnership with the FanHub app. So in terms of who I would choose, it would be, I'm trying to get the screen back up. I'm having an absolute nightmare today. So this is going well so far. Here we go. So this is a team that I would choose. And again, for those that aren't able to watch on the audio, Ben Hamer in goal, I would expect it will be James Morris, Wesley Hoot, Ryan Porteous, Ryan Andrews, Livermore, Chapvidadze and Kayembe in that middle three. And then a front three of Martins, Espria and Rajovic leading the line. Now, as I say, that is what I expect to happen. Not necessarily what I would go with, although I probably wouldn't change too much. But Cam, I believe you've got quite an interesting theory as to what you do in the striker department. But you've gone for the same prediction in terms of what you think it will be. Ben has also gone for the same prediction on screen and the one I've just mentioned. What would you do, Cam?
Well, yeah, that is exactly what I expect to be put out. I think we all know it will inevitably be Rajovic up front, whether you like it or not. Mm-hmm. Now, what I would do, and this is going to be very controversial, but hear me out. We have a bit of a midfield problem at the minute in that we're trying to squeeze all our players in. We've got Chakvatadze's come in. He's been very impressive. I think Deli Bashiru looks like he could bring a lot to our midfield. And obviously there's Kayembe and Kone who have been fantastic. What if we put Edo Kayembe up front? And just listen here. At times we've used him as a bit of a target man. We sort of pushed him up, made him occupy the defender and hoofed the ball to him. And he brings it down well. He sort of puts himself about. He can strike a ball like as good as anyone, really. He's a brilliant striker of the ball. And his goal against Rotherham, I don't know if you remember, brilliant centre-forward play. He found a bit of space in the box. He sort of shielded his man. And he swiveled on the ball and he shot and it went in. I think we could do a lot worse than putting Edo up front. Obviously, never in a million years is that going to happen. But I don't think it would be the worst idea in the world.
Well, I mean, I've been on this podcast for almost 4 years now and I've heard and given some mad takes myself, but that's up there. Edo Kayembe as a striker, I mean, at this point, I feel a little bit sorry for Rajovic. You know, the fact that Cam would rather go with Edo Kayembe than Rajovic, who's our top goal scorer with 8 goals. Reece Healy, we know, is injured, although I'm not sure if they've said he's definitely out for the Plymouth game. But I would imagine that would be the case. We are quite light in the striker department when you think of it. I know Val likes to have sort of a tight-knit squad. You know, that Toby Adeyemu, nowhere to be seen this season. Again, I believe he's injured. He had that brilliant moment against Blackpool last season and perhaps looked like someone that maybe was fortunate in that game to score a goal. And it was a great time and everything else, but maybe not quite cut out for this level of football just yet. So he's one that's not in the conversation. So yeah, Edo Kayembe, maybe, as you say, Cam, he can strike a ball and, you know, hold up play is good. And ultimately, Cam, that's what we're after, isn't it? You know, the main groan about Rajovic up top on his own is he doesn't press the ball and he doesn't hold the ball up and he doesn't win anything in the air either. He's 6 foot, well, he looks really gangly and lanky and really tall. So someone that should be able to win aerial duels, but he just doesn't, does he, Cam? And that's what you get. You get a different dimension from Vacuum Bio. You get someone that presses, someone that's aggressive in their forward play. Yes, his finishing leaves a lot to be desired, but it's evident, isn't it, Cam, when Rajovic starts from the off and plays a full game compared to Bio, because, you know, perhaps what Rajovic makes up for in the 6 yard box, you know, Vacuum Bio makes up a lot more in other areas, doesn't it?
Yeah, look, it was it's, as you say, pretty evident when Bio is playing, you notice him a lot more. He sort of buzzes about, he's got energy. There were a few times against Stoke where Bio was making a run in behind and we were just inches away from finding him. Now, people say Rajovic doesn't get service. Now, Bio sort of, he does get service because he makes much better runs. He's a lot easier to find. He makes more of a nuisance of himself. So he is going to get more chances than Rajovic. I don't think Rajovic not getting service is because the team can't find him. It's because he can't get himself involved like Bio can. And yeah, I was obviously up until the red card, I was really impressed with Bio, as I have been in his previous two starts away at Preston and Blackburn. I think he's really, he's putting himself about, he's making the right runs. And I think he's unlucky not to have had a couple of chances last night. So yeah, I'm very happy with Bio leading the line, but obviously we'll have to fill those boots for the next three games.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. And do you expect maybe, I mean, we'll maybe talk about this in a bit more depth in a little bit, but do you expect the striker to be on the radar for the January transfer window? Because, well, would you have expected it before Bio's suspension, but now even more so that Bio is suspended and will miss three games?
I'll be honest, I don't think we'll be signing a striker. As you said, Val likes a tight-knit squad. He's already got three strikers. We struggled to fit them all on the bench as it is. So, yeah, I don't think we'll be going into the market and getting one, as much as I'd love us to. Unless we do move on Reece Healy. But I think the solution for now is either, you know, make do with Rajovic or get Edo up front. Or we've got other players who, you know, Tom Ince has played games up front in his career. And although I don't expect that to be the case for us, Mateus Martins could be a handy option up there if we get Ken back in the team. But we've also got Shaq Ford out on loan who could be recalled for a bit, maybe used as long as we need him and then sent straight back out. So, yeah, there are options. I don't think we'll sign a striker. I think we'll our priority will go into a pair of fullbacks and possibly a midfielder. And there'll be outgoings too, won't there?
Yeah, we can talk about more specific shortly. You mentioned Shaq Ford there. He's currently on 5 goals in 19 games for Leighton Orient. So, you know, he's finding the net. We did wonder whether he'd maybe struggle with the step up to League One with Leighton Orient, but he's finding his feet. 5 goals and assist. So who knows? And obviously had that good loan spell at York. 9 goals in 20 appearances for them in the conference. So yeah, in terms of, you know, going back to the Plymouth game itself, the head to heads don't look amazing for Watford. I'll just read a few of them out. Now I know I mentioned a minute ago that it's been a while since we played Plymouth, so you can see here we obviously played them on the 12th of August. That was a 0-0 draw. It was quite a battering of a 0-0 draw. And then you have to go back to 2010. So I was way out, actually. I think that one that I'm referring to is that 1-0 that you can see further down the screen in 2007, because it was that season. 1-0 to Watford in 2010 and 2009, and then Plymouth were victorious in 2008 and 2009, a 1-1 draw 2008, 2007, 2-1-0 wins, one for Plymouth, one for Watford, 2005, both 1-1 and 3-3. So a lot of draws in there as well. In terms of score prediction, Cam, what would you be going for? Are you thinking that home record that Plymouth have got is going to come to fruition? Are you a little bit worried, or are you thinking, well, no, hang on a minute, we're playing Plymouth Argyle, who are currently sat 18th in the Championship on 28 points and only 7 points clear of the relegation zone? Or how are you sort of maybe looking at this one going to Plymouth, and how do you expect us to set up? How do we need to set up?
Well, we need to protect the fullbacks first and foremost. That's where all the threats coming from against us. Obviously, the Stoke goal came from the right-hand side. Dele Bashiru sort of lost his man again. Mm. But yeah, it's our left-hand side I'm more worried about this time, with Whittaker, as I mentioned. So we need to protect whoever's playing left-back, be it Morris or Semmer or whoever's playing there. They need protection. We need to double up on Whittaker. I think we can go there and win. I'm really encouraged by what we saw on Friday night. I think, obviously, we had a win in us there if Bio didn't get sent off. But I'm also aware that the squad is very depleted at the minute, and there'll be a lot of tired legs from the schedule. Mm-hmm. So with that said, I think we can go there and get a 2-2 draw. I wouldn't be shocked if we go and win, but I think 2-2 draw, and I think that will be a decent result to take into a long run of away fixtures coming up.
Yeah, I was going to say, obviously, we drew on Friday night, so do you think there's a little bit from the fans and obviously the squad, maybe a draw won't be good enough, or do we need to be realistic at the same time? Because, yeah, it's great that we're on this run and we're really starting to click and see better performances, but do we need to maybe step back and think, well, hang on a minute, you know, this is a rebuild season, we can't, you know, get carried away. With that draw taking place on Friday, is a draw going to be a good enough result on Monday? Or,
well, the thing with the Championship right now is, within our next two games, we could, I don't know, draw against Plymouth and lose to QPR, and we'll be completely out of touch with the playoffs. But then two games later, we might go and beat Bristol City and whoever we've got after that.
Yeah.
And we'll be right back in there. So you can afford to drop points. I'm much more worried about performances, to be honest. I think if we're playing well, we've got something to build on. We can see, you know, consistent patterns like we have been for the past few months. So, yeah, I don't think it's a must win. I don't think losing is the worst thing in the world. I just want to go there, see us perform, and that will absolutely do me.
Yeah. So you're going for a 2-2 draw, although you won't be surprised if we win. I'm going to go with a 2-1 to Watford. I think it's going to be a tight affair. Plymouth good at home. We seem to have sort of sorted ourselves out away from home. And I think if we put the performance in, and I don't want to sound like I'm underestimating Plymouth here, but they're down there for a reason. And they're very inconsistent. And we saw that with Blackburn. Blackburn had over one loss. There was no pattern. And Blackburn made it tough for us, don't get me wrong. And, you know, we really had to dig deep to get the 3 points in the end. I don't think there'll be any more of this going behind and then coming back. I just can't deal with it. I really can't. So I'm going to go with a 2-1 win for Watford. It's going to be a tight game. The thing that worries me is how Rajovic is going to play, because he's quite obviously going to be the man to start the game, and he just doesn't press, as we say. And, you know, I mean, he had a chance last night where he should have scored, to be honest. I know it wasn't in his office of the 6-yard box. It was what? It was probably 12 yards out, maybe a little bit more, but he should have scored for me. If that is his office, then he should be putting it in the back of the net. But one thing's for certain, Cam, we won't be seeing, or hopefully won't be seeing, a shocking refereeing performance like we did last night. None of this only reffed three games in the Championship in his career nonsense. It's interesting to point out that Scott Oldham's actually down to referee Wrexham on Monday in League Two. So it'll be interesting to see if A, he stays on that game, and B, who his game is after that, and when his next Championship game may be, if he has one. I noticed a comment to, I don't know whether it was one of our guys or whether it was to you, but Andre Mariner was actually there at the game last night watching him. So what has been fed back, I don't know, because it wasn't as if he was just crap for us. He just completely lost all control of the game. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see when his next Championship performance is. The man in the middle, though, on Monday is someone that we know very well. The man in picture for you guys listening on podcast is the man brandishing a red card to Gabe Osho in that 4-0 emphatic win at home to Luton. It's Bobby Madley from Wakefield. He's officiated Watford 14 times, Watford winning 5 of those, drawing one, and losing 8 of them. And yeah, that doesn't sound great, but could be worse. He's officiated Plymouth 7 times, and they've only won 1 of them, losing the remaining 6 games. So yeah, I mean, I try not to look too much into the stats of the referees, but yeah, Plymouth fans will probably not want to see him. But Cam, I know this isn't a referees podcast, but for me, and I'm not just saying it because we won 4-0, but he actually had a good game against Luton. And you just want to see someone take control of the game. If he gets decisions wrong, yeah, it's annoying. But to lose complete composure like Scott Oldham did last night, it just ruins the game. And it doesn't make it enjoyable. And you're sort of on the edge of your seat. A foul goes in and you might think, oh, that was a bit of a nasty one. But When a ref's lost complete control like Scott did last night, then you do worry, oh, is he going to do something stupid? Is he going to brandish a red card? Is he going to not book him? Is he, you know, it does worry you. But for me, Bobby Madley, perfect referee, controls the game really well. And I'm happy with that appointment.
Yeah, you see it a lot, though, with these inexperienced refs that come in and they're reffing at a higher level than they used to. They don't have any control of it, and they start becoming really inconsistent. They start missing a load of stuff. We saw it with Sam Allison, didn't we? We had him at Leicester away, and yeah, he didn't seem to have too much control of that. How he's gone on to the Prem, I'm not entirely sure, but yeah, I'm more encouraged by having Bobby Madley, who's obviously got Premier League experience. He shouldn't be losing control of a game like this. I wouldn't have thought so. Fingers crossed he's not as bad as Mr. Oldham.
No, well, Bobby Madley's, I don't know if he's still got the status, but he certainly was. He's a FIFA referee. So, you know, he gets quite high profile games. He's obviously had that incident a few years back, which sort of lost him his job in English football, went over to Norway, I think it was, to referee. And he's making his comeback and getting through the leagues again. So he's a very experienced official. So hopefully none of this nonsense that we saw last night. And I don't like to slag off referees because I've refereed before. I did it for many years, and I did it at, you know, park football, and then, you know, a higher level than park football. So, you know, I understand the struggles and whatnot that the referees have to go through. But yeah, that last night just really, really ground my gears. And yeah, hopefully we won't be seeing him for a long time. Same as that Sam Allison, eh? In terms of, we obviously usually have a opposition podcast on and we talk about the game, who to look out for. Cam, you've mentioned Morgan Whittaker. We obviously don't know areas to exploit, unfortunately, because we don't have a Plymouth fan on, and where they can hurt us. I think Cam's rightly pointed out it's the fullback area. James Morris, I thought, had an absolutely superb game last night. I was really impressed with him. So hopefully he can take that form into Monday. Hopefully his legs are sort of back up to full fitness. His first start since September, his first game since September. So to have a first game since September and then have to play on a Friday and a Monday, potentially 90 minutes in both, it's going to be tough on his old legs. So, yeah, hopefully he emulates that and puts in another solid performance, because he'll need to be on his A game. In terms of played for both, I actually tried to use a website that we use to get players that play for both. And annoyingly, Plymouth Argyle aren't on the list. I tried to Google it, couldn't find any. But Cam, you says you've got one. And Joe is chatting away in our group chat, and he's come up with three more. And two of them, I'm a bit annoyed I didn't get them myself, to be honest. Was one of those yours, Cam? Who have you got?
I thought of a second, and then Joe went and said both of the ones I got. So you might think that I've cheated or something.
No.
I immediately thought of Dan Gosling.
Yes.
And another player who's spent time at right back for us, despite not being a right back, Craig Cathcart.
Yeah.
I don't know why I knew Craig Cathcart. Did he have a loan spell there? Or
he did indeed, yeah. He had a loan spell from Manchester United, and Dan Gosling was playing in that game that I went to, the FA Cup game, I think, or the 2010 one. I'm really getting mixed up between these two games. But, yeah, Dan Gosling and Craig Cathcart. And then one for the older fan is Kyle Fletcher. Very, very brief period at Watford, if I remember correctly. And yeah, he played for Plymouth as well. So there's three. That game sort of, I don't know how it's going to work coming second time round, because we can't ask them, because we would have already asked them before. So, but I know there are a few fans that we didn't get on before for the first game round, because we're obviously coming to the reverse fixtures now, that didn't get a chance. So maybe we'll ask them, and maybe we'll try and fill as many teams as we can that we didn't get first on round, and see who sits top of the table. So, yeah, we're a fun little game. We're always trying to look for fun little things like that going forward. In terms of just the January transfer window, Cam, me and Ben spoke about it a bit last night. We sort of agreed that I think three sort of additions is what we'd expect, and I think would be acceptable. I think we both said right back, a central midfielder and a striker. Firstly, are those three positions that you, I know you mentioned about the striker, are those positions what you'd expect as well? And secondly, any more from yourself? Is there anywhere else you'd look to recruit in January?
Well, I don't... What I want and what I think we'll go for are two very different things.
Yeah,
I would absolutely love it if we go out there and we get a striker, a defensive midfielder, and a right back. I think we'll be in for a right back. I think we could possibly be in for another midfielder. I don't think we'll be in for a striker. I think possibly a left back will be on the agenda, depending on Lewis's injury. And there's also they've said they want a left-footed centre-back as backup for Wes Hoot, because he's having to play every minute of every game. So, yeah, I think that's what we'll be going for, rather than the striker that we all want.
Yeah, it's very interesting you say a left-back, because I mentioned the left-back last night, and Ben Berry made a very good point saying that that we have got sort of options at left back. We've got Ken that can play there, and Lewis hopefully will be back soon as well. So three people that can play in left back. But I suppose it all depends on if Lewis's injury isn't as, you know, they'll be back soon enough, hopefully. And a left-sided centre-back as well. Yeah, you know, we've struggled for one of them for a long time. So if we can get someone in to help ease the pressure, definitely. I did ask for some questions, and we only got one. We used to get so many in lockdown, and some of them were absolutely brilliant. And the questions actually come from Ben. Now, sticking with the transfer window, he said, if you could realistically sign one player from another Championship club, who would it be and why? Now, I've got one. I've got one. I'll ask for yours first, Cam. Who would yours be and why would you pick them?
I'm wondering if we've got the same one here.
So am I, and now you've said that, I think we might, but go on.
Is it Ben Whiteman?
No.
I really like Ben Whiteman. I think he's a proper... Well,
we were linked with him before, weren't we?
Yeah. He's an all-round defensive midfielder. Great defender, great with the ball. Exactly what we need sat in there. He's not having the best season at Preston, but I think Preston on the whole are having a bit of a rough time. So, yeah, I'm just wondering how much would it take to get him from them? Because he's obviously been a big player for them. They might want a few million. So, yeah, that'd be my pick.
Yeah, Ben Whiteman, like I say, we were linked with him before, and you never know how true these rumours are, but by the sounds of it, from some people it was very close, and then from other people it wasn't. So we were linked with him when he moved from Doncaster. It was Doncaster, wasn't it? He came from Doncaster to Preston. We were linked with that. And then we were linked when he was at Preston to Watford. So, yeah, mine. And listen, I'm not slagging off the job that he's done, because he's done a very good job there. And he's vastly becoming a fan favourite, and he gets chanted about most games. But for me, it's got to be Victor Johansson from Rotherham. I think he would be a perfect sort of replacement for Dan Backman, if you like. And like I say, I'm not slagging off the job that Hamer's done, but it's quite evident that Hamer isn't someone really that we can maybe rely on. I don't know if I'm being a bit too harsh, because in previous games he has saved us, but over the course of a 46-game season, if he was to play week in, week out, you know, he's had one clean sheet so far, hasn't he, this season? So, you know, there are flaws in his game, and that's not to say he's not had a brilliant spell so far, because he has. But I think Victor Johansson would be perfect for us, the way that we play. Granted, when he came to Vicarage Road, if he was being watched by people in the stands, conceding 5 goals isn't ideal. But listen, it's not always the keeper's fault. But for me, it would be Victor Johansson. Annoyingly, as I'm just about to stop this segment, I've just had a notification on WhatsApp to say that we have a question from our old man. So he's got a question, which I'll wait for to come through.
I'll just add about Johansson. Yeah. I completely agree about Ben Hamer over 46 games. Can you really rely on him? Mm-hmm. We've seen that he's really, really composed with the ball, much more so than Backman. But he's let in some goals that you'd probably want your keeper to save. Not to say he hasn't made some brilliant saves as well, but I do agree we need another goalkeeper, one that's a bit younger. I really like Victor Johansson. Another name I could throw at you is Lee Nichols from Huddersfield, because they don't look like they're sort of going anywhere. So could we get Lee Nichols away from them for a cut fee? Who knows? But I think goalkeeper is something we need to address.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I mentioned this to Ben last night. We've obviously changed technical director. Gianluca Nani's back. And I think Lou Warne's found a snippet of an interview that Nani had done with Italian media, saying that we're actually going to be looking in the English market in January. So it's going to be really interesting to see, A, if that's true, and B, who we're going to bring in. Because the English market we've seen over the past seasons can be very, very, you know, good to pick up players that know the league and can help you over the line. A bit like, you know, a Liverpool-style signing. Maybe not the first name he'd go for, but he's proved his worth so far. Sebastian Bassong in the past, Matthew Connolly, Ben Watson, Dan Gosling, those sort of players that know the league coming in, know what we need to do, know how to see out a championship game, know how to pull their socks up and really get stuck in. And hopefully we can replicate that. the question we've had isn't quite... it's just come through as we're recording.
And I don't think he meant that for the pod.
Oh, right, okay. I was going to read that out as well. It was about Luton Town and the players they've got. So we'll not... we'll not cover that one on the pods. When he said I've got a question, I thought he meant for the podcast. I thought, oh, that's convenient timing. But Cam told him to hurry as well. I was like, why? I was like, because we're recording and Cam's speaking now. So if you get it in quick enough, I'll ask it and it'll seem all professional and timed perfectly. But no, not to be the case.
We've made ourselves look idiots here.
Yeah, well, I've been doing this for 4 years, Cam. So yeah. We're not going. Will you be watching the game, Cam?
Actually, yeah, I think I will be. Yeah, I forget what day it is. As I said before, that's Monday, isn't it? So yeah, I should be watching it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'll be watching it, whether I'm massively hungover or hopefully all right. I'll be watching on Monday and hopefully watching us pick up 3 points. I'm gutted I'm not going. Cam's gutted I'm not going because he would have got a lift as well. But I've tried selling it to the missus, but it's having none of it because it's actually our anniversary tomorrow, 2 years together. So I don't think taking her off to Plymouth was ever in question, to be honest. Joe tried, to be fair. He said, sent me a few nice pictures of the Plymouth beach in the summer's day and said, send these to her and say, look, beach holiday, anniversary, 2 years. But yeah, fell on deaf ears. So maybe next season, who knows? But we're not sure in terms of how it's going to work with recording a podcast yet. I'm not sure when we're going to do it. We might do it straight after. We might do it on the Monday. The Tuesday. We're not sure how it's going to work yet. So we will see. But yeah, thank you very, very much for watching. If you've enjoyed this video, make sure you hit the like button. Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you drop a comment in as well. We love reading the comments that you guys put in. Anything we've discussed today that you want to have your say on, drop a comment in. You can also leave a review, and you can actually like episodes now on Spotify, I've noticed. You can leave a review on Spotify. If you go onto Spotify and type Voice of the Viking, underneath the blurb, it will sort of say, it will have a star rating that we've got. If you click on that, you can put your star rating in. And the same with Apple Podcasts as well. If you go onto our profile on Apple Podcasts, if you scroll to the bottom, there's some reviews there. If you leave one, that's absolutely amazing, and it will be mostly appreciated. And you can also leave a star rating as well. So make sure you head on over to do that on those things. But yeah, we'll be back either Monday evening or Tuesday evening or Tuesday day, not sure yet. And we'll be talking about that. We're going to be speaking to a Chesterfield podcast as well in the week, because Chesterfield on Saturday, it's a game that we're all going to. Every member of Voices of the Vic will be there. We'll be in the bunker at 12:30. So we'll if we see anyone that we recognize, we'll say hello, and vice versa. It'd be great if you guys said hello to us. We love meeting people that watch the show. I still find it mad that people do watch the show, to be honest. But appreciate you guys watching this one. And we'll be back after the Plymouth game and hopefully talking about 3 points. But till then, come on, you Orns.
Sports Social Podcast Network.